However, watchdogs say people like Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg are lagging in their support and that joining their peers could make a big impact. This is Mike Moen for Prairie News Service. This story was produced with original reporting from Seth Milstein for Sentient.
You have been tuned in to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, October 21st, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our producer and engineer for tonight's broadcast is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Eric Tegadoff, Brian Bull, Edwin J. Vieira, Brett Pevedo, Daniel Smith, and Mike Moen. Director of the Evening News is the inestimable Althea Billings. A podcast, this newscast, is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO on KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Ron Bronson.
And I'm May Carrere. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO's News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Ron Bronson. We're joined today by Harmony Dashiel and Lily Burnett from the Yes Campaign for the Park Rose Teachers Levy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're super excited to have you talk to us today about this levy. So talk to us a bit about Measure 26245. What is it, and what would it do if voters pass it?
So it's the Park Rose Teachers Levy, and we're calling it that because it will fund only teaching positions. And our school district, which is a teeny tiny district next to Portland Public, we've got about 2,800 kids total. And we are facing a $3.5 million budget shortfall in the next school year if we don't pass this levy. So we're asking folks to vote yes so that we can maintain our current classroom sizes and extracurriculars.
I'm understanding this isn't the first time this levy has been on the ballot, right?
No. It's not. Two years ago, we tried to pass it, and it did not pass.
By less than 400 votes, am I right?
So close, yeah.
So that really illustrates the need for people to really get on their horses and, you know, well, and luckily you don't have to go to the ballot box. We all know this. Just open your mailbox and get your pencil out,
100%,
right?
100%, yes.
Absolutely. So talk to us a little bit about what this would mean for the district. Talk about a big deficit, but, like, what does that mean tangibly for students, for teachers?
Yeah, 100%. So we only have 6 schools, as Lily was saying. We're a small school district, but this measure would mean 28 different teaching positions. So when you look at percentage-wise, that's 15% of our teaching staff. that's definitely measurable. That's tangible. We feel that if it passes, we definitely feel it if it doesn't pass. And so what does that mean for our youth, our kids, our community? That's really a game changer in the resources and the individual attention that we can give to our youth.
That's really, 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 really a salient point. But I guess so, people, wonder about the pocketbook. Everybody's struggling right now. Things are really hard. Yeah. But what's the impact on the property owners with something like this and levy like this?
Yeah. So this is a $1.25 tax per $1,000 worth of property tax that you have. It's looking at about $26 a month per the average household, or just over $300 a year. That's not insignificant, especially in our community. Like you said, we're all feeling it in the pocketbook. Costs for everything have raised. Mm-hmm. And for me, the counter to that is, what is the cost if we don't do this? And so is it worth it? For me, no brainer. Like losing 28 teaching positions, I got to pay the 26 and figure it out, because who else is going to come through for our kids?
28 teaching positions. I just really illustrate 28. Some schools have 28 teachers in them, the entire school. And we're talking about 28 positions that's funded from this thing that if we get together. One of the things that I was struck by moving to Oregon. I've been in Oregon about 7 years. But moving here is how goofy we fund schools. What a wacky system.
Yes.
If we were starting from scratch today, there's no way anybody would agree to this. It's one thing that you're in a rural district or you're Eastern Oregon, if you're over here in the city, outside of Portland, we all agree that this is a really goofy way, a really terrible way, frankly. We're cheating our kids and our communities in the way that we fund schools, right? And so the state funding only covers the bare minimum. Am I right about that?
That's right.
I would say not even the bare minimum.
Yes. Right, right. So that's an issue where people ask, where are my other taxes coming from? The state's not covering their fair share of this because of laws that are, passed many of us born in some cases or well after. Mm-hmm. And we've been fixed these kinds of things. But so we talked about this being on a ballot before, but, talking to folks about this issue in I think it's really clear for us about, coming out of the COVID era and students being locked in their houses, and we're seeing this mental health issues with students and things like that, that having teachers on board, having programs in our schools really can support, teachers to support the programs that are in our schools can really help those students. But what are some of the misconceptions you've heard about, this levy and again, missed by 400 votes last time? What are the kind of things you're hearing from folks that we can help clear up tonight, maybe?
Yeah, I think last time a big thing that we heard was that people just weren't even aware that there was a levy on the ballot. It was midterm elections. There was a lot going on. People were still very much distracted by COVID, understandably so. It was 2022. And this time around, we are definitely trying to make sure that that is not anybody's excuse for not voting on the levy. Because not only did we have more no votes than yes, but we had a lot of undervotes.
Of course.
People who had filled out other parts of their ballot but left the levy unanswered, which is a vote. It's what we call a protest vote, right? But who's protesting the teachers' levy?
Right.
The other thing I want to spell out for folks is that the school district was facing budget shortfalls before the pandemic, and our schools didn't have PE in the elementary schools.
Wow.
We didn't have sports at the middle school. We didn't have counselors in every school. And then what COVID did was it actually brought a boost of federal funding that allowed us over the last 3 years to build in, where now all of our elementary school students, all the way down to preschool, do have access to PE.
Wow.
And we have middle school sports. It's taken 3 years to build up and add to. We're able to offer middle school band. We have counselors in every school now. And those are all the types of things that are going to be the first thing to go if this doesn't pass. Because we can't have 28 teachers who are teaching, state required curriculum. We can't cut that, or we couldn't operate as a school district. So it's going to be things like after school sports and counselors in the schools. If the kids aren't moving and they aren't supported, how can we get mad at them for having high absenteeism rates? It's punishing the kids.
Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think one thing that we hear sometimes is from folks who don't have kids and live in the community, and it's not just a tax on those of us who have kids that are attending in the school district. And yes, I hear that. We hear that. And also, one thing that I love about Park Rose is how tight-knit of a community it is. It's not even just a sense of community. It is a community. We celebrate together. We work together. We live together. All of these things are happening. And yes, you might not have kids in the school district because they've aged out. You moved in after you didn't have kids. But it's still all of us. It still impacts our families. It impacts your neighbors. It impacts our youth. And one thing that we can really do is tap on that. Lean back on that sense of community, on that reality of community that we have, and say, the state can't fix this by next school year. Right. Nobody's going to come through and wave a magic wand. There's no real backup plan if this doesn't go through. So this is our opportunity to come through for our community's kids and say, we've got you. You know, we'll work on the other stuff in the next 5 years. Hopefully there's a lot of work going on in the legislation and the governor's office because of all the things that you mentioned earlier about our broken system. But at this moment in time, our community can come through for our community. And that's what we got.
I really love that you mentioned the community part of this, because I think that that's often lost in people. We talk about kids in schools these days. And what's funny is if you had a time machine, let's not do that. But if you had a time machine, you could go back to the 50s or something. Nobody would gripe at the idea that you'd fund your local school. Why wouldn't you? Right. Because you need to take care of the kids. Right. But all of a sudden these days, these are problems that we have with this. And it's really funny. Not funny. It's terrible. It's sad that this is a thing. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. As we kind of wrap up here, thinking a little bit about this, really appreciate you all coming on today. Are there any final thoughts, anything you want to add to this, this really important measure? Hopefully people really hear this today. Not only hear it, but tell people, talk to people who are able, you know, on those ballots. Don't leave that ballot blank. Make sure that, you know, you check yes when you're filling out that ballot. I know you're filling it out this year. It's really important election to do that. But anything, any final thoughts you want to add, either of you?
Yeah, I think make sure you go all the way to the end of the ballot. This is the very last ballot measure. Mm-hmm. And so you got to flip it over. It's two sides. That's step one. And then you got to go all the way to the end. And I know there is a lot to think about this election season, but that is the one thing that we're really asking is don't quit on us. Get all the way to that last question.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing I'll add is that, you know, for Park Rose, like, we're at a turning point right now where we either decide that together we're going to invest in our schools and they're going to get better, or we're not. And it's really pulling the carpet out from underneath the kids. And we have the most racially diverse public high school in Oregon, and that's who you're pulling the rug out from.
Right. Right. It's such important, really important part. And really super appreciate you all coming on the show today and talking to us about the Park Rose Teachers Levy. I've been joined by Harmony Dashiel and Lily Burnett from the Yes on Measure 26245 campaign. That's the Park Rose Teachers Levy. Make sure you go all the way to the end of that ballot. Don't forget now to go to the end of that ballot. You heard what they said, and you tell a friend. You call somebody right now, and you let them know. This is the KBOO News in Depth. I'm Ron Bronson. We've got more coming your way in just a moment.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm joined by Robin Yee from the Yes on Measure 116 campaign to learn more about this statewide measure that will be on Oregonians' ballots next month. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to talk with us. So, Measure 116, let's talk about it. What would this measure do if it gets passed?
Right. So when we vote yes on Measure 116, we will remove politicians' role in setting their own pay. And instead, we'll create an independent commission that will decide pay for all of the electeds from our state government. So that's the legislature, governor, secretary of state, and also our all the judges in our judicial branch. So this encompasses everyone that draws pay from our state and from taxpayers.
And so this independent commission, Oregon had one before and it went away. Can you tell me a little bit about that history?
Yeah. So what makes Measure 116 really the people's voice is that this commission will have that full force to decide, right? It'll be a 2-year process that's done every 2 years. It'll be seated by, regular Oregonians, not politicians, who will, take a look at all of the data out there, right, to really figure out what makes sense for Oregon and our democracy and our government. In the past, that commission you talked about, I think it was formed in 1983, right? So over 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it, just frankly was ignored. It didn't have teeth. Mm. As we see with so many
teeth in what way?
They didn't have any power. They could only recommend, and then the lawmakers routinely ignored it or dismissed it. Mm. And probably for politics reason, right? When politics is the thing driving these conversations, right? It's used as a political football about, political optics. I don't think we arrive at what the best policy decision or what is best for Oregonians when we think about, that really important relationship between elected officials and the people they serve, right? This compensation. So, ultimately that former commission was repealed because it was obsolete. It was ignored multiple times. And, we see that unfortunately a lot with many kind of citizen informed commissions. It's kind of just ignored, right? But this Measure 116, it's a constitutional amendment so that it can give that force and make that decision. Because, we don't think anybody who, is an elected official should determine their own pay. Mm. This doesn't happen in any other industry. It's not a great setup. And I think this is a clear move for, more transparency, fairness, accountability, and, the people will decide.
Yeah. Well, what does pay look like for lawmakers right now? Is it high? Is it low?
Yeah. So when you look at the data itself, Oregon is towards the bottom in all of these categories. So from our statewide electeds, the legislature, right now, a legislator in Oregon only makes $35,000 for the tremendous amount of work that goes into being a lawmaker in modern times, right? And this impacts Oregonians deeply when we don't have when we have a legislature that doesn't represent all the perspectives in Oregon, because people just categorically can't even think about running or representing their people or bringing their important perspective and, their background and walks of life, right? We're categorically prohibiting because, it's not something that is conducive to full-time work, right? And what results is we don't have a government where everyone has a seat at the table. So I think passing Measure 116 could move us towards that, or certainly would remove the politics and the politicians out of this question so that Oregonians can decide.
Well, a lot of Oregon lawmakers have to take up extra jobs to be able to support themselves. Is that right?
Absolutely, right? Think about what kind of job would allow you the flexibility that you could take off, half a year, more than half a year, every other year to go legislate in Salem, right? That's a really important job. So when we think about people who can't afford two households or who live really far away from Salem, those folks, often they can't even consider it, right? They couldn't represent their people. Folks who are early in their careers, low income, who are raising kids, or taking care of older folks, caretaking, these folks just are categorically not a part of lawmaking often, right? It's really, really hard. And so we don't have a government where it's fully representing the different perspectives of Oregonians. I think our democracy isn't fully represented when we don't have that kind of legislature.
Mm-hmm. What impact do you expect, if this measure gets passed, 116, if it gets passed, what is the impact that it is expected to have on Oregon's government?
I think Measure 116 will create a really important public conversation, right? So as I talked about, this independent commission, you know, it specifically can't have politicians involved in it or their families or lobbyists or state employees. Instead, we'll have a public process where we can all help inform it, right? It's going to be way more transparent than these conversations are now. It'll happen every 2 years. It'll be informed by data and, you know, whatever the needs are. It'll be checked in every 2 years. It'll be professionally staffed. The first set of decisions about salary will happen in 2027. So 2025 and 2026 are really important years to implement this, to make sure that the people's voice and the perspective informs these decisions.
You mentioned that pay for lawmakers has been something of a political football. Can you tell me a little bit about like what that's looked like in the past? Because, I mean, you mentioned how comparatively low Oregon lawmakers' salaries are. Is that something that is maybe politically expedient in some situations?
Well, I'll say that, you know, Measure 116 was overwhelmingly bipartisanly referred by the legislators.
Right. That's important to know.
Yeah, this is something that affects all folks, right? Rural, urban, from every corner of the state. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this. I think it's, we wouldn't arrive at how we, you know, fund and invest our democracy if we were just doing it based on what made sense. I think we're at the situation we are now because political optics are hard, right? There's so much going on. And, you know, it's hard to raise your own pay because this is like the only, you know, profession that has to do it in this way, right? So it's not good for anyone involved. And then, as I said, it leads to poor outcomes, I think, for Oregonians when we think about what would make our democracy stronger, what would make for a government where more people or everyone could have a seat at the table. I just think it's such a strong move for Oregon to join, you know, what 22 other states have in terms of some form of an independent commission that takes a look at elected pay.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how common it is in other states. Oftentimes, Oregon is forging a new frontier in our ballot measures, but it sounds like this one is more widely used.
Yeah, in this case, right, we've seen independent commissions pass in other states almost like every decade for the last 50, right? So Oregon would be joining close to, you know, half the states in our country to have a role for the public, right? To be a part of that conversation, to determine pay, right? It could be more accountable, more transparent. It's a fairer process. And I think when we allow that opportunity, we can right-size it and make sure that it's working for Oregon and what our state needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about, I mean, I'm going to conjecture, you didn't say this, but probably increasing lawmaker pay through this commission and through this ongoing process that you said is every 2 years. How do you anticipate the expenses to change for our state government based on this new commission?
So the great thing about this truly independent commission that will form is I couldn't really speculate on what they'll decide. That's the cool part. Whatever this body, when over the next, you know, few years, they will ultimately decide. But what I can say is that currently, if you add up, you know, all the salaries for our, you know, elected officials at the state level, it accounts for 0.2% of our biennial general fund. Okay, so like 0.2% dust. We should invest in our democracy and our representatives that make such big decisions for all of us. And, you know, we should modernize our democracy. So whatever they land on, I'm sure, though, it'll be more informed and have more people a part of that conversation than the kind of lack of that conversation that we have now.
Right. I'm curious if this measure being referred to the ballot is at all related to the scandal that forced former Secretary of State Shamia Fagan to resign, because part of that whole story was that she was taking consulting money from an outside group that had a stake in, you know, what her office was auditing. And part of her explanation of that was that her salary as Secretary of State wasn't enough to support her family. Is that sort of part of the context of this conversation and this independent commission coming back?
I think we have a set of measures this November, right? I'll give a shout out to Measure 115 as well. We're talking about 116, but 115 creates, you know, accountability in impeachment process in our government. 116 here takes the politicians out of the pay question. Measure 117 introduces ranked choice voting to the rest of the state. I see those all as really strong potential investments that we can make in our democracy, right? To increase accountability, to make sure that people know our elected officials are thinking about us in every decision they make. So I think these are all clear moves, Measure 116 included, to, you know, promote trust and fairness and accountability in our government. And so, or like, I think that's really exciting. I think Oregonians have this opportunity to vote yes on all of those measures, so that it's a government, you know, by the people, for the people.
Mm-hmm. Is there an organized opposition to this?
No, not that we can see. Again, this was bipartisanly passed. You know, I think maybe four lawmakers altogether, you know, out of our 90 voted against this. So I think it's clear that Oregonians should weigh in, right? Do we keep the status quo where politicians have any role in setting their own pay, right? That could be problematic. Or do we put it in the hands of the people to decide, right? To actually decide. And so, you know, the Yes on Measure 116 campaign is joined by, supporters from all across the state, the full spectrum, even, you know, unlikely allies. So we have folks from small business community to some of our largest labor unions, SEIU, AFSCME, but also, you know, our community foundations, community-based organizations. We've had organizations that for the first time ever supported a ballot measure, like the Women's Foundation of Oregon, because this is about workplace equity and fairness as well, right? And even the Taxpayers Association of Oregon, who they exist to be opposed to taxes, but to also make sure there's no government waste or fraud. That's their mission. They support this too, right? They see it as in a really important step for accountability. So, you know, we're proud to have close to 30 organizations, and, you know, a majority of Oregonians will vote yes on Measure 116.
Well, say it does pass. You mentioned a little bit about what the independent commission would look like, who can serve on it, who can't, and what they would decide. But let's talk about that specifically. Can you tell me about what Measure 116 outlines in that respect?
Yeah, so Measure 116 is the measure short, right? So that people can understand, it's going to be put in our constitution. So it's really a direction question, right? Again, do we want to have a status quo where politicians are part of the equation when it comes to their salaries, mm-hmm. or do we put it in the people's hands, right? So that's what the measure states. It makes sure there's a public process that gets done every 2 years. It's going to be professionally staffed, and, you know, certain categories of people can't be involved, right? Politicians, their families, state employees, and lobbyists, right? People who could have a financial interest in this. And then, you know, implementation is going to be really key, as it is with any policy or program. And so those finer details will be worked out over the next 2 years. But the legislative intent, and when voters vote for it, I think it'll be really clear that Oregonians are asking for this process to be done differently.
Yeah. Well, if our listeners are interested in finding out more information, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, you could check out our website on Vote Yes on 116. thenumbers.org. You know, check out our voter pamphlet statement that you're going to get soon, that I think it really shows the breadth of organizations and community voices and folks really invested in our democracy and good governance, why they support it. And I just think it's a long overdue solution to a problem, and it's what we can do right now. So we should vote yes on Measure 116.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Just that, you know, if you're someone who takes a look at the world and our government or democracy and says, you know, we should have more fairness and accountability and transparency, that we'd be better off having Oregonians, you know, more regular people decide these questions than, you know, maybe some of the politicians down in Salem, that you should vote yes for this and return the power back to the people, so that we can make, you know, huge steps towards having a state government where everyone can have a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, Robin, thank you so much for coming on to talk with us about it.
Thank you so much for all your coverage.
That was Robin Yee from the Yes on Measure 116 campaign, speaking with me about the statewide measure that will be on Oregonians' ballots in November. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings. Help me now, baby. Please. You gotta help me.
Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934.